We have been talking a little bit about our culture code and how, what we want our church to be known for. And we started on the first one, which is that we are generous, joyful, and loving. And our first culture code, we actually put three things to it. So look at that. I got three messages just to get through number one. But this is some things we want our church to be known for. This is some things we stand for and we believe are important. We're just looking at number one. We are generous, joyful, and loving. So today I want to talk about the fact that we are joyful. This is important. So we are joyful. God wants his people to be joyful. You see, there's nothing worse than a grouchy Christian or, you know, a really grumpy Christian. It just gives a really bad picture of who God is. And God is a joyful God who wants his people to be joyful. So Psalm 68, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 68, 3 and 4 says, "But let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence." There's just a couple of short verses, and they say rejoice, be joyful, again and again and again. We are commanded to be joyful if we're followers of God. Isaiah 35, 1 to 4. It says, "The desert will blossom like a rose and rejoice. Every dry and barren place will burst forth with abundant blossoms, dancing and spinning with delight. Lebanon's lush splendor covers it, the magnificent beauty of Carmel and Sharon. My people will see the awesome glory of Yahweh, the beautiful grandeur of our God. Strengthen those who are discouraged. Energize those who feel defeated. Say to the anxious and fearful, be strong and never afraid. Look, here comes your God. He is breaking through to give you victory. He comes to avenge your enemies with divine retribution. He comes to save you." You see, the prophet Isaiah is talking to God's people who at this moment in time are slaves in another country. And he's telling them, your victory is coming. I'm going to break through for you. It's on the way. He's telling them, rejoice for what's coming. If you're looking around you right now and you feel like there's nothing to rejoice about, then rejoice for what's ahead, because he's a good God. And your victory is coming if you won't quit. You see, his word says those that endure to the end will be saved. Did you ever understand that? It means you don't quit. And I found this. I've met people in my life that have quit and quit, and they're never joyful. I might as well just add this into the be joyful message. Quitters are not joyful people. It's a fact. All right, let's move on. Nehemiah 8, 9, 11. "Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, 'Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this. For today is a sacred day before the Lord your God, for the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law.' And Nehemiah continued, 'Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before the Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" You see, he's talking to God's people, and they have actually been away from him. In other words, they haven't been serving God, and now they're hearing the words of God, and they're actually starting to weep because they realize they've messed up really bad. And Nehemiah and Ezra say, no, don't weep. God wants you joyful. Can I encourage you, if you've messed up really bad, come back to him, give him your heart, and begin rejoicing. He's not the kind of God that wants you to feel guilty and ashamed for the rest of your life. Give it to him. Start right where you're at and serve him. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. It says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Passion Translation says it this way. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. You see, a heart that can't have joy will have sickness and depression. We have a choice. We can choose to be joyful or we can choose to be miserable. You see, David said in another verse, this is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. In other words, he woke up and said, this is God's day, he made it, I'm going to rejoice. You and I have that ability to choose. You see, joy is an inner gladness or happiness that shows itself in many different ways. It shows itself with a smile, with shouting, jumping, laughing, dancing, spinning, or singing. Those were all original words that were put in your King James Bible as joy or rejoice. So joy will show itself somehow on the outside. You can't be like, I'm a very joyful person. And nobody's going to believe you. It will show. Some way or another. I remember as a kid, I remember a season in my life, I don't know, it was somewhere in elementary school, and I think they must have had those little papers they send home where you can order books. And I decided to order a couple of joke books. Well, I can remember getting those joke books and reading the jokes and memorizing the jokes to tell everybody in the house. I'm pretty sure I laughed louder than everybody, but I still remember that season as a great season. I can still remember feeling joyful and happy almost continually because of these really lame little jokes. I thought they were amazing. I may have even used a couple on you as pastor jokes since. Like, you never know. Who knew God was setting me up to be a pastor? But do you know that I remember that time with fondness? It's an amazing time. I remember that as a kid. Don't remember the problems that might have been going on. Don't remember school issues that might have been going on in that season. I just remember it was really happy. Why? Because I chose to fill myself with things that were funny, that brought me joy. It's a choice. What are you filling yourself with? Oh my goodness, because right now you can fill yourself with all kinds of stuff that'll make you grouchy, angry, frustrated, depressed. Or you can choose to fill yourself that will bring you joy. You know what brings you joy. I don't. What brings you joy? Fill yourself with that. Shut off the other. Because God wants us to be a joyful people. Listen to me, in this season, if you go somewhere and you're joyful, people are going to be wondering what you have. They might even think it's drugs. You can tell them it isn't. It's him. You get a smile on your face and they're probably like, what's wrong with him? Don't be afraid to tell them. I'm serving a good God. He said he's got my future. He's never lied to me before, and he's not lying to me now. He said he wouldn't leave me or forsake me, and he's not gonna. People might, but he won't. Proverbs 15, 13 to 15 says, a cheerful heart puts a smile on your face, but a broken heart leads to depression. Lovers of God hunger after truth, but those without understanding feast on foolishness and don't even realize it. Everything seems to go wrong. Everything seems to go wrong when you feel weak and depressed. But when you choose to be cheerful, every day will bring you more and more joy and fullness. It's a choice. It's a choice. Let's choose to be cheerful. I'm going to give you some science on it too, because I had to go online and find this little paper for you. It was written by Mark, somebody with a long last name. He's a PhD, and then a medical doctor also went through it. So this is actually science. Okay, so you got to hear this. The top 10 reasons you should smile every day. Their first one, smiling makes us attractive. So you want to look good? Put on a smile. We are naturally drawn to people who smile. There's a real physical attraction factor linked to the act of smiling. Not surprisingly, more severe are negative facial expressions like frowns, scowls, and grimaces actually work the opposite, effectively pushing people away. Instead, use the attraction power of your smile to draw people in. When you smile, you look better. Okay, science proves it. Smiling relieves stress. Stress can permeate our entire being and can really show up in our faces. Smiling not only helps to prevent us from looking tired, worn down, and overwhelmed, but can actually help reduce stress. Believe it or not, smiling can reduce stress, even if you don't feel like smiling or even know that you're smiling. When you are stressed, take the time to put on a smile. You and those around you will reap the benefits. Because you see, it says that smiling elevates our mood. Now, next time you're feeling down, put on a smile, and there's a good chance your mood will change for the better. Smiling can trick the body into helping you elevate your mood, because the physical act of smiling actually activates neural messages in your brain. A simple smile can trigger and release of neural communication boosting neuropeptides, as well as mood boosting neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin. Think of smiling like a natural antidepressant. Smile, even when you don't feel like it. Smiling is contagious. When you smile, it makes other people want to smile. I've never seen two people arguing with a smile on their face. Can't be done. Just smile at somebody when they're trying to argue and see what happens. You know, unless they're violent, everything should be okay. Smiling is good. Smiling boosts your immune system. Smiling can boost your overall health. The act of smiling actually helps the human immune system to function more effectively. It is thought that when you smile, immune function improves because you're more relaxed, thanks to the release of certain neurotransmitters. In addition to taking precautions like washing your hands, why not prevent the cold and flu by smiling? Oh, that sounds too easy. Smile! Think about this, couples are here. When you first met the love of your life, I guarantee you both couldn't stop smiling. Now, you weren't trying to put on a show. It just happens, right? Then, you know, down the road, life gets in there. There's heaviness and work is hard. And you can sit there not smiling, maybe even frowning, thinking deep in thought. Smile. Take time to smile. Not only can smiling make you more attractive, it can also make you look more youthful. The muscles we use to smile also lift the face, making a person appear younger. So instead of opting for a facelift, just try smiling your way through the day. You'll look younger and feel better. Smiling makes you seem successful. This was an interesting one. Studies have shown that people who smile regularly appear more confident, are more likely to be promoted, and are more likely to be approachable. Try putting on a smile at meetings and business appointments. You might find that people react to you differently. Think about if you've been in a meeting and that person grimacing at the end of the table. Nobody wants to ask them questions or anything, right? Uh-oh, they look upset. Smiling helps you stay positive. You can try the test yourself. Smile and then try to think of something negative without losing the smile. It's hard to do. Even when a smile feels unnatural or forced, it still sends the brain and ultimately the rest of our body the message that life is good. Stay away from depression, stress, and worry by smiling. So science once again backs up the Bible. God says he wants you to have joy, and it's a choice, just like choosing to smile is a choice. So let it flow out of you on purpose. Choose it. Proverbs 12:25. It says, anxious fear brings depression, but a life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. Anxious fear brings depression. We are in a world right now where fear is being promoted continually, and the mental health system in our country are overwhelmed. This is no joke. God's word proves it clearly. Fear brings depression. But a life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. Once again, what are you filling yourself up with? Listen to something that will encourage you and you will feel different. Joy is a choice. You see, Jesus in Scripture clearly wanted his followers to have joy, and we are his followers. John 15:11 says this, "The things that I've spoken to you are these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." You see, here's Jesus telling his followers, I want you to have the same joy I have. Now, maybe you don't picture Jesus as being a joyful person, but he was. Jesus was a person full and overflowing with joy. Now, yes, we know that in the end of his ministry, he went through time of sorrow and pain and heartache. He did it for you and I. But as a person, he was joyful. He was the image of our Heavenly Father in the flesh. And God is a joyful God. He is not a bitter, angry God with a frown on his face. If that's how you picture him, you don't know him. He has a smile on his face. He laughs easy. I have no doubt about it. After all, look around. He made all of us. He must have a sense of humor. Okay. Look at some of the animals he made. What was he thinking? He has a sense of humor. Trust me. John 16:24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. Let me take a moment right now to say this. If there is something so heavy stealing your joy, you need to take it to him, because Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. Why don't you ask me? Go to him today and ask him what that thing is. Ask him. He wants to make you joyful. If I can get anything across to you today, it's that joy is a choice, but also that God wants it for you more than ever. He didn't call you to be a Christian so you could be miserable, but then one day go to heaven and it'll be great. Yeah, heaven will be great, but he also wants you to be full of joy and abundance right now. Right now. Daily. Luke 10 and verse 21 says, in that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your glorious will. That rejoice right there meant to dance and spin about. Jesus is rejoicing because God spoke to the disciples and showed them his power and worked through them to bring miracles and see people set free. Jesus rejoiced at that. He said he danced and spun about. You didn't picture him that way, did you? Well, he did. He knew how to rejoice. You see, Christians who believe what the Bible says should be the most joyful people on earth. We have a hope. We have a future that's amazing. We should be the most joyful people on earth. And as a matter of fact, Scripture tells us we should always be joyful. We're instructed, even commanded, to be joyful. Psalm 5:11 says this, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." He's going to defend us. He's watching out for us. We can be joyful. How about Philippians 4 and verse 4? "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Does anybody know what that word "always" means in the original language? It means always. I just thought I'd throw it in and sound smart. It means all the time. Always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Now, those two things that come after "always be joyful" will definitely help you stay joyful. Giving things to Him in prayer so that you don't have to carry them, and being thankful, having a thankful heart. Those two things definitely help you stay in joy. God wants us to be in joy, and to be in joy often. You see, our joy is not determined by our circumstances, but it's a choice we make. A choice to focus on our amazing God and the amazing things He continually does. You see, He is continually doing, He is continually working. As that song said, "Even when I don't see it, You're still working." He's a good God, a miracle-working God, and He wants you and I to be in joy. God doesn't want us to just have moments of joy while we live a life of despair or anger or depression, but He wants us to live a life of joy that may have moments that make us weep. Do you see the difference? For too many of us, we can think of the moment or the time I was happy. No, no, no. He wants you to live in joy, and you may remember moments when things weren't joyful. That's the difference of living a life in Christ and choosing joy. You and I are His light to the world, and joy is light to a hurting world. A world who doesn't know how to have it, but you and I do.